Your Bibles, please, to John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. Verse number 46, we'll start there. Ask you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. John 4, 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and they told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then required he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus saith unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed and his whole house. Praise God, that's good. He believed his whole house. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, for the privilege to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you for the singing of the songs and sweet spirit. I thank you, Lord, tonight we gather like this and those you brought back into the service tonight. And some sitting here tonight that's not well and body, and I pray for them and ask you, God, to help them. And there's some that's waiting for treatments and situations. And my heart cries to you, Lord, to touch and to help. You're the great physician. I thank you for doctors and medicine. But Lord, I know ultimately it's in your hands, and I pray in Jesus' name and for your glory that you'd help them. Then I pray tonight that you'd help those of our church that's away preaching. I pray for every man of God that you touch them and use them for your glory and for your honor. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight now. You know our hearts, you know our lives. And Father, I pray you'd help us with this subject of believing you and putting our faith fully, totally in you and asking God and believing. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help me say what I need to say. And God, help me not to say anything I ought not to say. And I pray the Holy Ghost, God, would illuminate our minds and loose our tongues. Help us, God, preach like you want us to and speak to hearts tonight. You know the unsaved that's here. You know those that need to be drawn closer. You know every one of our hearts, every need we have. And so we pray tonight, meet our need, help us. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood, claim the victory in Jesus, for it's for his, in his name and for his glory we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We've been dealing with that subject of faith, and I'm again tonight going to work with that, the Lord being my helper. And you say, preacher, you've preached on that till we believe we ought to believe God. I believe we ought to believe God. Amen. And I may preach again on it. I don't know after tonight, but I know tonight I feel God's will we'd go this route. And things you've heard, many of you have been around here a long time, you've heard me say before, but I want everybody to hear it again. We need to believe God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's what God said in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you can't please God without faith, then I think it's an important subject that we need to think about, believing God. I've said over and over again, I so many times feel like the man at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration, when he cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now, that's one time when the man came They down there waiting, and disciples couldn't help him. And Jesus came down, and the man was saying, "If you can, will you?" Every other time that anybody asked Jesus to do something, they say, "You can if you will." This man didn't even know if he could. He said, and Jesus turned the tables around on him. He says, the question is not, this is my terms now, not biblical word for word, but he turned the tables around on him and he said, it's not if I can. The question is, will you believe that I can? And that man said, I cried out like this, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Now, how many times have I felt that way? And even today, and preaching on faith, haven't been preaching on faith, haven't been trying to share with you about faith, and today things, attendance not, it's off some, and I don't, you know, that kind of thing. And preachers, some of you folk may not know what does to a preacher, but a preacher looks around and the devil will throw everything at him he can and try to discourage him and say, "Look at that, you don't even believe me, bring people in. And you're talking about faith. Well, why don't you just give it up?" And I decided, by the grace of God, I believe I just believe God anyhow and come on back in here tonight and preach again and try to help us all, amen. Because we need to believe God. We need to trust God. We need, and you know, sometimes when you're praying for something, you're looking for something, and let's talk about dealing with people, about being saved. And you really get a burden for them, you really get stirred up about them, and you really want to reach them, and you feel God in it, and you're trying to witness to them, trying to pray for them, and sometimes it seems like they get worse instead of better. And many times that happens. They'll seem like they show less interest. They'll try to run from it. They'll try to make you feel bad if you mention it and all of that. But it's maybe the darkness right before the dawn. Amen. Many times many folk are running right before God gets up with them and backs them in a corner and does a work in their hearts, bringing conviction drawn by his power. Now I want to say this real quickly tonight. I'm not talking about believing God in the sense that you get saved for somebody else. I'm not talking about that. But we can believe that God can and will bring conviction unto their hearts and bring them to the place where they want to be saved, and then they have to make a choice whether they will trust Christ or not. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe that whosoever will may come. I don't believe it's the will of God any should perish, but all come to repentance. I believe that with all my heart, and I stand on that. I know God's sovereign God, can do everything he wants to do, when he wants to do it, who he wants to do, how, where, when, all of that. But I know that God is looking for a people that will believe God and will step out on faith and trust God for it. God requires us to believe him because it honors him, brings him glory, and because it hinders the devil. We know that. Helps our troubles. We know that. And we realize the fact that. And I was preaching this morning and talking about what unbelief does. Unbelief hinders God from doing what he wants to do. I can't get over that. Brother Bill, that stuck in my heart. They tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. God can do anything, everything. And God can. Can God? God can. But here it said he didn't do what he could do because they didn't believe him to do it. And you remember when I was preaching here the other Sunday morning about the axe head that came off, and then the prophet throwed in the stick in it, and said the iron did swim. And I believe it not only floated to the top, but came over close enough to where that man could reach out and get it. But that iron head was laying there, that axe head was there, and that man had to reach out by faith and get a hold of it, else he still wouldn't have had it to put back on the handle. He had to do, he made a choice. He could have stood there, had to spit that in now. He could have stood there and looked at it and said, I don't believe iron can float. I don't believe this thing's real. I believe I'm seeing things. I don't see no use of me reaching out and that thing sinking to the bottom. He could have said that, but he reached out and got a hold of it. And I want us to reach out and get a hold of faith And you say, you can't get a hold of faith. Faith is the substance. And if it's substance, you can get a hold of it. I pray mentally, in our hearts, spiritually, we will get a hold of it and grab a hold of it and hold it tight and believe God and trust God. And here we are 2 weeks away from time the evangelist will be coming in. And I was believing God before he gets here. But whether he was coming or not, I still want to believe God. And I want my own life stirred, has been stirred. God been working on me. And I pray that God will work on you and all of us together that we may. It's yet to be told what would happen in a local church that really believed God and got down to business, didn't have, and confessed sin, got things right with God, with each other, and then by faith stepped out and believed God. It's yet to be told what could happen. Amen. And trust God for it. Now, let me plug this in real quick. I'm going to get to preaching in a minute. I'm just trying to get started. But let me say this to you. When you're praying for somebody to get saved and the response is not coming, just keep on praying. I think I mentioned how long Ruth prayed for Brother Willie here some time back. How many years she prayed and waited for God to do something. You just keep on praying. Keep on believing it's going to happen. So trust God to bring conviction. Trust God to do the work. Trust God to do what you can't. You can't bring conviction to them. You can't make somebody get saved. Now, you can take a, maybe somebody and talk them into making a profession of faith. But that's ought to be a profession without a possession. But when God gets in it, now I believe y'all to witness. I believe y'all talk to them about being saved. I think y'all try to get them saved. But you got to be spiritually minded and led enough to know when God's in it and when God's not. You go so far, if God's not in it, you stop and leave it alone and pray for him. If God's in it, you keep on going another step and another step. And I found down through the years that some folk you can go into with, God's dealing with their heart. They're under conviction when you get there. And God's already got them ready, and you just lead them to Christ and shout glory, hallelujah. There's others you go in. And you really just got to start in the very basic, make a friendship and begin to build confidence and have confidence in you. And then make a next step and try to invite them to church. Then you make another step and try to mention God to them and mention being saved or being right with God or dying and going to eternity. It's step by step by step. But what I'm trying to say, it's as long as we know that God's in it and God's helping us, God will. But sometimes, that, like I said, it'll turn the other way, looks like. And it looks like it's going, not going the right way. But just keep on believing God. Well, I want to preach tonight on where faith can reach. Where faith can reach to. Amen. We need some help in that area. Where can faith reach anyway? And how far can it go? And I pray God to help us here tonight. I read in your text about this one that had the certain nobleman had a son was sick at Capernaum. And I want to talk about the family and God reaching our family. Where can faith reach? Faith can reach our families. Amen. I believe we can do better than that. Faith can reach our families. Amen. And I believe that in my heart, that faith can reach our families. You said, but preacher, hadn't reached mine yet. Well, we're not through yet. Jesus hadn't come yet. And you've not gone to the grave yet. And so the other person not gone to the grave yet. It's not over yet. So we keep on praying, keep on believing and trusting God to reach our families. But as you look at this, here's a dad and he's concerned about his son. And I want you to notice in verse 46, latter part of that verse said, whose son was sick at Capernaum. He was sick now. And look at verse number 47. He heard. Now, when he heard that Jesus is coming by, somebody had to tell him that Jesus is coming. But look at the very last part of that verse. For, and she's talking about his son, wanting him to come and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. He was at the point of death. Is that not where our families are that's lost? They're not at the point of death. They are dead spiritually if they're not saved. If they've never been born in the family of God, they're dead spiritually. But I know one that can give life. I know one that conquered death and hell and the grave. I know one that can give life eternal if we'll only trust him and believe him. And so here he is. Now look in verse number 50. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now he hadn't been to the son. He wasn't touching his son. He wasn't there. But he said, thy son liveth. And the man believed. And the man believed. He believed what God said. He believed the word of God. When Jesus said, thy son liveth, he simply believed that. and he was already healed. And so he went away believing that, headed back home. On the way, the servants met him, and he asked them, said, what hour did he start getting better? And they told him, he knew his hour, that Jesus had said, thy son liveth. And then it said that he believed in his house. And I believe tonight that he believed not only that Jesus could heal his son, knowing that Jesus did heal his son, but he believed that God, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and got saved. And his whole house did. I'm reminded of that Philippian jailer. Remember him? And he came and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And thy house. And I believe that God's in the business of saving you, saving individuals and saving their house. I believe God wants to save your children. God wants to save your brothers, sisters, sons and daughters, and mothers and dads, and husbands and wives. And it's God's will to save, and he wants to do that. So here we see God working in a family. I guess the greatest, the ones meant the most to me, is found in Matthew 15. If you'll turn there real quickly, I'm just going to give you a few examples out of the Word of God tonight and where faith can reach to. Here was a son. He was back home, and a dad came to Jesus, asked Jesus to help him. He was at the point of death, going to die. If something didn't happen, Jesus said, thy son lived. He believed the Word, and God began to do a work. He healed the son, and the whole family got saved. And I say hallelujah for all of it. But look in Matthew 15. I've preached this many times. I love it. God taught me more about praying, believing in this than any other scripture that I know of in my life personally. But notice what he said in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Had you ever noticed there, she didn't try to excuse her daughter. She didn't try to say something else wrong with her and say she's a good girl. She just needs to get saved. Said she's grievously vexed with the devil. It's her problem. And said she needs some help. And so she cried to Jesus about her. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Didn't say anything. Have you ever prayed and God didn't say anything? Just felt like heaven was brass. No answer, no nothing. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. And sometimes... And somebody discouraged you about praying, brother. But she kept on coming to Jesus. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I love that. He said, I'm just sent to Israel. Then came she and worshipped him and said, help me. And she wasn't a part of Israel. She came out of Cana. She's a Gentile. She came out of that crowd that wasn't a part of the promised people of God. And she knew that. But she believed who Jesus was. And she called him Lord. And she came to him and cried to him and said, help me. I need help. Hey, when we get desperate, crying out for help, God is the one that can help us. And so she cried for help. Look at verse number 25. As she came and worshiped and said, Lord, help me. Then verse 26, but he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. It sounds like it's getting worse. First, he didn't say anything. And then the disciples said, send her away. Then Jesus said, I'm not sent but to Israel. And then he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. It's like saying you're not worthy of it. It's not your place and all that. But Jesus, what he's really doing to her is saying, come on, come on. I want you to get closer and closer to me. Come on. I want you to get that place where you really believe. Come on. Hey, that's what Jesus is saying to us tonight. Come on now. Let's get in. Let's really get in this thing about believing God. And when he said, it's not me to take a children's bread, cast it off. She said, truth, Lord. Now, I don't know what about you, but I've seen the time when I'd probably said, now, wait a minute, Lord. You know, I've done a pretty good, a little bit of good, some good. But she, what he's really saying, you're like a dog. And she didn't argue one time. She didn't try to vindicate herself. She didn't try to say, I deserve anything. She didn't say, well, my daughter, she'll make you a good Christian. She didn't say anything like that. She just simply said, truth, Lord, I don't deserve a thing. I'm not fit for anything, but I need some help. And my daughter's lost. She's going to hell, and she needs some help. And notice the next verse. Hallelujah. I love it. And when he answered and said, not me, in verse number 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, even dogs eat the crumbs. Amen, we're Gentile dogs, but glory to God, got some crumbs off the master's table. And now we're the children of God. We're in Christ. We're a part of the bride. Hey, glory to God, that's enough to shout about. That's enough to run around the building three times about right there. Let's know what God's done for us. Amen. But here she took her place. She got what she wanted. And Jesus is telling her about this and saying, and she's saying, truth, Lord, you're right. I'm just like a dog. I'm just in that way. And as a dog eats crumbs from the floor. And that's the heart of Jesus. Hey, listen. I was preaching a revival one time, and this lady sitting a few pews back, about where Miss Amy is, maybe further than that, but I preached that along this line. She crawled on her hands and knees from that pew to the altar. Said, God, help me. Help me. My husband lost. Help me. Hey, I believe sometimes we need to crawl to the altar. I think it's time. I know there's time we need to crawl up on the altar and walk down and fall on the altar and really get down to business about this thing of God helping us. We need some help. We need God to do something for us. And God's able to do that. You say, preacher, that don't mean anything. I tell you, it meant something to that woman that did that. It meant something when she came, when she got that kind of a burden, when she got that kind of care. Hey, I'm trying to tell you tonight, here's a woman that needs some help with her family. And it looked like she got discouraged every way she turned. Every place she looked, she got discouraged about it. But she kept on with her eyes on Jesus. She ignored the crowd that said, go away. And when Jesus said, I'm not sent but the house of Israel, she may have listened to him, but she paid no attention about it. She came and worshiped him. And then when he said, not me to take a children's bread, cast a dog, she just said, truth, Lord, you're right. I'm like a dog, but our dogs eat crumbs. Give me a crumb. Hey, if we can get some crumbs off the master's table, we'll have some revival. If we just get some crumbs off of God's table, God do something for our families. God will help our families. Amen. I want some crumbs. Amen. If I was Tommy Steele preaching tonight, I'd have brought me some bread and crumbled it up and throwed it out there at you and said, God, give me some crumbs. Amen. And let's let some crumbs fall from heaven. Throw them up. Let them fall down. Amen. I'll take some crumbs off of God's table. It's better than anything the devil's got on their steak table out here. Amen. I'll take the crumbs anytime from God and say hallelujah while I do it and praise God. But now notice verse 28. And here's where I'm really trying to get to, but I'm enjoying getting there. Amen. But look at verse number 28. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it, underline that if you mark in your Bible, be it unto thee, even as, and underline as, be it as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her daughter was made whole that very hour when she, by faith, kept on coming to Jesus. And then when Jesus answered her prayer and she got what she wanted, because Jesus said, be it as thou wilt. She had believed enough. She had believed God would. She believed Jesus would help her daughter. She believed that in all the things that discouraged her, she kept on believing it until Jesus did what she had come for. I say, you know what happens to us? We'll pray some for somebody, and then we get discouraged and quit. We'll try to get somebody to come to church that don't come. We'll get discouraged and quit. And we'll try to help somebody. Doesn't happen. We'll discouraged and quit. And I'll tell you right now, thank God we don't have to quit. We got a great God able to answer our prayer. And if we'll just believe God, God will. He can. We know that. I'm not preaching he can. I'm preaching he will if we'll believe him and trust him. Amen. Thank God for it. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your situation is. But I can tell you right now, God has the answer for every problem, every situation. If we will just pray and believe God, find the will of God, and believe God, God will work in that situation and help us. And I say amen, amen, and 10,000 hallelujahs, amen. In 2 Kings, I want to give you this, and then we're going to give you another example, but I'm still dealing with this thing about believing God and trusting Him and getting our families. But this illustration is not necessarily about families, but it's from the Word of God. In 2 Kings chapter, well, let me see here. 3, yeah, 2 Kings chapter 3. I'm trying to get it in my mind. 2 Kings chapter 3. It was when Elisha, not Elijah. Elisha and Elijah, I get them mixed up sometimes, but it's Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 3. And Jehoshaphat and king of Israel, king of Edom, were going up to fight the Moabites. And they were on the way up there. And as they were going up, they run out of water, had no water. And so they cried out, what are we going to do? And they tried this and that and the other. Then Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God in this place? Is there not somebody can tell us what God wants us to do? And one spoke up and said, yeah, Elisha had poured water on Elijah's hand. He's in this place. And they sent for him, and they asked him what to do. He said, tonight, dig ditches. Dig ditches. Hey, there wasn't any clouds. Hey, the wind didn't blow, didn't rain. He said, dig ditches. And so they began to dig a ditch. I'd tell one man now, look over to another man and say, why in the world are we digging ditches for? There's no water here. We're looking for water, but they know water, not even a spring. Ain't not even something easy. Ain't not a swamp here. And here we are digging ditches. Why are we digging ditches for? Because the man of God said dig ditches. And so they believed what God's man said. It's like believing the word of God, what God said. And so said dig ditches. And they started digging. And that night they dug ditches. And the next morning they got up. Moabites looked down there, saw the water. And the sun shining on it and looked red like blood. They thought they killed each other and the kings had fought. They came down to take a spoil, and then Jehoshaphat and the rest of their crowd, they killed the Moabites and won the victory and got it. But you know how they could have a little bit more water? If they dug just one more ditch. If they dug one more ditch, it had a little bit more water, amen? And we need to dig some ditches. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang with me. I'm heading somewhere with it. In the very next chapter, there was a woman that was a widow of a prophet that had died. And she cried to Elisha and said, the creditors have come to get my son for a debt that we owed and we cannot pay. He said, what have you got in the house? And she said, a little cruse of oil. And so he said to her, you go borrow from your neighbors pots and vessels. And said, borrow not a few. And so they went and borrowed pots and pans and jugs and everything else. Brought them in, shut the door. And one of the sons may have said to her, Mom, what are we going to do now? She said, we're going to pour out oil. And they said, well, we don't have but a little bit of oil. She said, I know, but the man of God said, pour oil out in these vessels, and that's what we're going to do. And so he handed me a vessel. She poured oil in it, set it over here. Hand me another vessel, poured oil in it, set it over here. Kept on pouring oil until every vessel she had was full. And the oil stayed. It didn't go away. It just stayed there. You still with me? Hang on, we're still going somewhere. And so they got through that, and he said, sell the oil, now pay off your debt and live with the rest of it. But here's the thing about it. If she had not believed God and walked in that house, borrowed the vessels, and fact is, if she'd have borrowed one more pot, she'd have had one more pot of oil. Amen. And so here she is, and she's sold oil and she's living by. Now, I got to thinking about these things, digging ditches, and getting oil and pouring oil in vessels. I said, Lord, there's got to be something in there somewhere. Somehow you're trying to tell me something. I come to mind while I was studying this about this woman believing God. And Lord, I'm talking about revival. I'm concerned about the church. I'm concerned about having an old-fashioned revival. I want God to do something, Lord. What's a tie in here? He said, you ever dug a ditch? You get dirt, get down and get dirty. You get down in the dirt, you get humbled. Amen. You ever dug a ditch? Hey, if you've ever dug a ditch, you don't put on a shirt and tie to dig a ditch. I can tell you that right now. You'll take it all four longs and tie anyway and start digging a ditch. And I remember one summer at Miss Linda, you know Preston's farm, and over there next to the creek, and had a place that if we dug a ditch so long, gonna put some tile in there. And so he said, I was in high school. He got me and one of my cousins dig that ditch, and we started digging that ditch. And I mean to tell you, some of the dirt was hard. Sometimes we hit a rock, but we kept on a digging and kept on a digging. And finally got that ditch dug, put the tile in there, put everything together. He told me last time I talked to him back some time ago, he said, that ditch is still working. Hallelujah. Hey, what I'm trying to say is this. If we get down to praying and get humble, getting dirty down in the ditch, that's a type of getting down to pray, getting humble before God, getting all the pride out and just shoveling down there. Hey, start praying to God, asking God to help us. And prayer is needful, amen. And then the woman pouring the oil out, God said, what's the oil a type of? It's a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. And we need to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. Hey, if we dig some ditches and get the vessels filled up with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, we'll have revival, amen. And you're the vessel. That's what God said. You are the vessels. I'm the vessel. And he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is not what some folk think it is, but being filled with the Spirit of God will cause you. It'll make you do things you wouldn't do otherwise. Hey, anybody drunk, they'll do things they wouldn't otherwise. Oh, boy, in Virginia, I used to have to hunt him down, try to witness to him. He'd get drunk and come to my house. And I was looking out the basement window one night, and he had his head in upside down looking at me. And I had to go out and talk to him a while, tried to help him. But when he got drunk, he'd do things. Had another man, he was pretty well up in society and that kind of thing. But he'd get drunk, he'd get on the front porch and play an old guitar and try to sing, make an awful noise, sound like a hound dog howling at the moon. But when he's sober, he was very distinguished and very quiet and very, but he'd get boisterous when he got drunk. And here's the picture God's drawing to us. Like somebody's drunk, they're not in theirself. They got a power that's controlling them and making them think different. They act different. They do things different. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll act different. You'll talk when you wouldn't talk otherwise. Amen. You tell somebody about Jesus when you wouldn't tell them otherwise. Amen. And the vessels get full. Hallelujah. We can believe God. They believe God got the vessels full. They dug the ditches and God did what he did. I say hallelujah. I got to hurry. What time is it? Well, anyway. Amen. Well, let me go over here in Matthew chapter 8. And now you can reach your family, can reach your friends. Amen. I'm going to read all this. But here's in verse number 5 of the Matthew chapter 8. Here's a centurion, and Jesus coming by, and here in verse 6, he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. He's like the woman that came to Matthew 15 and said, I'm not worthy. I'm like a dog. I don't deserve you to come under the roof of my house. Just speak the word. Speak the word. And he'll be healed. Verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. He said, I haven't found this kind of faith in Israel. In verse number 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As, now here we are back to that be it as. And this is as here, so underline that. As thou hast believed, so be it. So be it. As, so be it. Unto thee. Done unto thee. Servant was healed the self-same hour. I say hallelujah. Let me give you one more. In Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We'll read you the first 5 verses. And we'll be finished here in just a few minutes. But I'm talking about working faith for each two. Faith can reach our families. Faith can reach out there where we can't get to ourselves, but faith can do it. Chapter 2, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he's in the house. You get Jesus around, power of God around, he'll get noise. You have real revival, he'll get noise down. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. I'd like to see the house get filled like that. Amen. And he preached the word unto them. He didn't say they came and he put on some kind of a show for them. Didn't say he tried to have something else for them. He said he preached the word to them. He just preached. And they come unto him and bring him one sick of the palsy, which born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now notice verse number 5. Here's where we're heading to. Verse number 5. When Jesus saw, T-H-E-I-R, their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he saw, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When he saw their faith, those four, I call them Mr. Love, Mr. Prayer, Mr. Faith, Mr. Works. Those four had to get together to get him there, but they got together and they got him there. When Jesus saw their, didn't say when he saw how much they prayed, didn't say when I saw how much they gave in the offering plate, didn't say when I saw how much they read their Bible, how many chapters read that day, but said when I saw their faith, he moved into action. Now reading the Bible is important. We don't read the Bible right and we won't have those biblical grounds to believe God on. Then we got to pray right or we won't be in the right spiritual attitude to believe God right. But praying, but he's looking for faith. We got to pray. We got to believe, read the word of God. We got to work, put effort into it. We got to reach out and get the axe head. We got to put our efforts together, get people here. But let's believe God is going to do something special for us. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the sweetness of thy word, thy truth that goes beyond anything that we know in this world. And Father, these people here tonight, young folk, need to get saved, need to get born in the family of God. Lord, how we need to pray for them and ask you. We are asking you. And Father, not only asking you, but believing you. Then, Lord, these folk that have loved ones and families that's not here, that they're trying to get here, and they want to see get right with God. Lord, we're asking you, asking for that. Lord, we're asking for revival. We're asking God to stir hearts and lay on hearts of folk to come and help us reach people, get them in. And Father, we want to move in that realm of faith and believe it and say thank you in advance for what you're doing and what you're going to do. Now we pray in Jesus' name and all the forces of hell will come against us and all the doubts and fears will be shot at us. But you said in thy word, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now help us tonight to believe God. In Jesus' name. Heads